Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's the Vert Show.
So this is something I've been putting off for 5 years now. And it was time to have a real honest conversation with myself about why I've been putting it off. And is it time to finally let my pride go and do what I've been forcing myself not to do?
We're going
to
get deep here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think so. So I've told y'all before that I had like a best friend, nothing close to him. We felt spiritually connected for about 20 years.
Wow.
And then it was an incident of us going on a vacation where he just was acting extremely differently about the vacation and about himself. And looking back on it, it was one of those things where he could have had things going on in his life that maybe he wasn't sharing. And I probably did the same. And we came to a disagreement. And it was like that 20 year bond just ended in like one day, pretty much. And it was over. I knew he'd never be the same. And we haven't spoke since. And it's been about 5 years.
Was this the Vegas dude?
This was the Vegas dude.
Okay.
God, but that's been 5 years.
That's been 5 years. Wow. 5 years.
Yeah.
So he hit me up earlier in the year out of nowhere. And I talked about that on the show, too, through a text message, just pretty much saying, you know, are we ready to put this behind us? And I don't think I was. I think I was open to it, but I just don't think I'd fully forgiven him for the way that he handled the situation yet.
Just so we give it some context for those that didn't hear it the first time around, is there a way to like sort of recap it in 60 seconds? Like what offense could be so bad that 20 years of friendship, bye-bye.
It's impossible to do in 60 seconds, but the majority of it was at some point, I think when I started the show and when things started happening for me, he just changed. I don't know if he wasn't necessarily clapping for me. I don't know if he felt intimidated by it. I really don't know what it was, but it seemed like everything became a competition with us.
I think that there are some friends like that, and at some point or another, life kind of smokes them out. Like, they want you to do well just so long as you're not doing as well as they are.
Better,
right?
Than they are.
You know
exactly
what I'm saying?
Exactly. And that's what it felt like. And it hurt me because I'd watched him do so well for so long when I wasn't in the best place and I was clapping for him. There was nothing but pure joy to see him win. And it just felt like when my turn finally came, he wasn't applauding me the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to the way that he handled this vacation last minute, saying that he wanted us to find somewhere else to stay because we didn't want to necessarily live under what his rules were, which was that we all should have roommates and all this other stuff. And as grown men at that time going to Vegas, like, none of us wanted to have roommates. That just didn't make a lot of sense. So his reaction to it was, if we're not doing it my way, then y'all do whatever y'all want to do. And to me, that was the wrong way to handle that. So that was it. That was the end of the friendship.
You're like, I'm not 21 anymore. I'm not going to go to Vegas and share a bed with another person.
Not doing
when
that.
When I could have my own room.
Not doing that. And it felt like he was trying to alpha male me. Like, he's trying to alpha dog me. And I'm like, not doing that either. So pride played its role, and we haven't spoke since. And so, like I was saying, he reached out earlier in the year, and I appreciated him reaching out. And we spoke briefly in text, and then eventually he made a phone call. I was busy. I made a phone call. He was busy, and it kind of just fizzled out. And that was the end of it. And then for some reason, like about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he was just heavy in my mind. I don't know if y'all know that feeling of like somebody just out of nowhere. It's like you feel their presence a little more than you ever have. And I was like, what is that feeling? Like, it was almost like the universe was pushing me to reach out a little more than it had been previously. And I wasn't exactly sure why, but it was there. It was obvious. And I spoke to someone about it, and she just kind of was nudging me in the direction of calling him. But that didn't really do much because everybody in my life had been nudging me to call him all these years. And then God works in mysterious ways, because my barber, of all people, came over to cut my hair. And I could tell something was bothering him, but he wasn't really speaking about it at first. And then I kind of heard him like sniffling as if he was, you know, he was tearing up. And I was like, you all right, bro? Like, you ain't got to cut my hair. Ain't that serious? You know what I'm saying?
Like,
yeah. And he was like, man, you know, I didn't really want to speak about this, but you know, I lost my best friend on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm like, why'd you even come? And he's like, man, I need the distraction, you know, and I haven't spoken to anyone about it, but I feel compelled to in this moment. I said, let it fly, you know, because I lost one of my best friends when I was 18. And I know that pain. I know that feeling very well. And he did. He started to just let it fly. And just listening to him speak to the bond he had with this man, it reminded me so much of the bond that I once had with my friend. And it's a very rare bond where, you know, you just literally feel spiritually connected to this other human being in a way that you have never felt with anyone else. And in all these years, I've never found anything even close to it to replace it. And at the end of it, when he kind of broke down and talked about how he would just give anything to be able to make that phone call and hear his dude's voice once more, something in me clicked and was like, nah, it's over. Like, this pride thing, this, we going into a new decade, a new, you know, it was just like, what am I doing? It just instantly felt so stupid and trite that I was like, I have to call him. I have to call him. And so I text him that day to say, I'm going to call you this weekend, because I felt like that would put me on the hook to do it. And so I did it, like, immediately. I didn't overthink it. And he responded immediately and was like, I've been waiting for this. Like, I can't wait to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
And so that day, my mom, my lady, my grandmother, everybody, did you call him? The whole day, right? Like, they wouldn't let me forget that I said I was going to do it. And I finally called him. And initially, he didn't answer. And I was like, see, this is why I don't be calling people, see? And before I could even have that thought, he called me right back. And we just started chopping it up. And
how did it feel to hear his voice after 5 years?
It was interesting, because it was like instantly all of the anger or the, you know, what I've been carrying all these years were gone. Like, in the moment that I just heard him say, what's up, bro? It was like we immediately went back to what we used to be. And I asked him how he'd been. He asked me how I'd been. How's the family? We got through all of the particulars. And then he said, well, one of the things that's crazy about this phone call is I had a midlife crisis and I bought a motorcycle. And he said he got into 3 accidents on the motorcycle. Oh. And I said, how'd you get into the next 2? Like, the first one didn't tell you that this ain't for you, my dude. Like, I don't know.
One and done, baby.
That's it, man. And he said, man, I don't know what I was going through, bro, but something was missing. Something was missing in my life. And as I was turning 40, I had just told my wife that I can't turn 40 and have a birthday party with Mo not being there. Aww. I just can't do that. This dude has been too, you know, monumental in my life. And I was like, I had the same feeling. I said, well, when was the most recent accident? He said, 3 weeks ago. He said, 3 weeks ago, I genuinely almost lost my life. I broke my tailbone and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I said, 3 weeks ago, that's when I started to feel that feeling of like something, I have to call him. And he was like, I always knew you were going to make this phone call, but knowing you, I thought it was going to take a little bit longer. So I'm happy you made it. And I'm happy I made it. And I just finally did it. I feel a lot of relief from it. I feel like I'm excited. I don't get excited about a lot, but I'm excited for us to make up for lost time and to somewhat get back to what we used to be. And I mean, I'm just saying this to say to anybody who is on the fence of remending or a friendship that you still miss or you still wish you had in your life, stop letting it stop you, because life is entirely too short. And I'm very glad I finally made that phone call.
That, like, you have been getting signs, like you got a sign from your barber, somebody listening right now, this may be their sign.
This may be your sign. And if it is, if you think it's your sign, it is your sign. Take it. Call your friend.
It's the Burt Show.
Here, Burt Show. Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
I got so excited yesterday that it was almost like I saw a celebrity in Buckhead. First of all, Buckhead, what chaos at 5:30 at night. Oh my God. First of all, why are there police officers out there when they're not directing traffic at all?
They weren't?
Not Piedmont, but right over by Lenox, that intersection.
Yeah,
right,
Lenox
there.
And Peachtree, there's always cops there because people block the intersection when, like, the light is obviously going to be turning red, but people don't care. So they pull out in the middle of that intersection and then they sit there. And then your yes. turn signal turns green, but you can't go because there's a bunch of a-holes in yes. front of you blocking the intersection. So that's why they always have cops there.
There was a cop there doing absolutely nothing about it. I was having a serious old man moment in the car. And Amanda's like, will you calm down? but I saw one of those Waymo cars in Buckhead yesterday. I'm like, there's one of the driverless cars.
Bart sees one every day.
Is that right?
I've yeah. still never seen one.
So I think they're only in certain parts of the city. I don't think they're allowed to go on the highway yet. So I think you said they're like down by the Beltline.
I see them all the time in front of Painted Park because I think it's because a lot of people will bounce around from bar to bar, like in the Virginia Highland area. So if like you're going from Lady Bird or whatever to another bar, it's easy to jump in a Waymo and it doesn't have to get on the highway.
No, well, I saw one on 400.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And it was going to the Lenox exit, but yeah, there was one on 400.
I ain't scared of these things. I want to be one in there. I am not scared.
Oh my God, no, I don't want to be in one. It makes more sense for him to be on the highway though, because it's just a straight shot.
Yeah, right.
Rather than navigating people. But I heard like horror stories of like them getting stuck trying to do a left turn and they couldn't because of all the cars coming. It can't think for itself. And nobody could contact a representative and the doors are locked so they couldn't get out and they were just stuck. It might not have been a Waymo, it might have been another driverless car, but I am a little sketched
not
out.
Not for you.
Was it like the off-brand Waymo, like Wayno?
Yes, probably. Like she and no.
And Uber made an announcement yesterday. Uber said on Wednesday, got a new feature that's going to allow women passengers and drivers to avoid being paired with men on their ride-sharing app to push enhanced safety.
I love that. Yeah. And I think somebody else, they've been doing this for a while to make sure that you can request a female driver if you want one.
All right, Abby. Women, very, very desperate in New York City.
I don't think they're desperate. I think they're just more clever than everybody else. I think it is a little bit more of a competitive dating atmosphere because the women of New York are doing something borderline illegal in order to make sure that they meet high-value men. So this all came from an account I saw on Instagram called @paper. And apparently, New York City girls are stealing lunches from finance bros in order to start a conversation.
Yeah, the first time I saw this was actually on TikTok from an account that is @Nicole461. And it's exactly what Abby said. They are stealing lunches in order to get the attentions of finance bros.
As the dating scene is getting so bad in New York City that I am seeing on TikTok, there are girls going into Midtown during the week and stealing finance bros salads for lunch. And then looking their name up from the salad order on LinkedIn and then messaging them through there and being like, hey, oh my God, so sorry, grabbed your salad. Like, let me just make it up to you and buy you a new one. And that's how they're like sliding it, which honestly, smart. Why are we stealing men's salads? Like, that's why can't they just come up to us at a bar? Like, why is it getting to this point? Men, just please step up or your salad's gonna get taken. Your lunch is gonna get taken every week. Like, I'm seeing girls get so creative these days. Like, they're making bracelets with their phone numbers on them and giving them to you guys at the bars. They are taking pictures of you sneakily and then being like, hey, oh my God, making it their phone screen and being like, hey, can you take a picture of me and my friends so you can see that your picture is their home screen? All just different ways to try to talk to you guys because you guys don't come up to us in New York City. And it's crazy. Like, I know there's so many beautiful women. Like, just go up to one of them. buy them a drink. You guys have money. You live in the city. You can buy a drink. Stop being cheapos.
You know what I just realized? And I would love to take a call. And I don't know that we're going to actually get one on this. I have never heard a woman say, blank city is a great city to date in. All I've ever heard is New York City is a terrible city to date in. Atlanta is a terrible city. Seattle is a terrible. Charleston, it's all terrible. I want to hear from a woman, 1-855-BIRCHO, that has found a city that is great to date men.
You know, what are you laughing at?
Because I have the best city for dating in the U.S. and it's going to make you so mad.
Is it my hometown?
It's Atlanta.
No, is okay. It really? What list was that?
No, wow. It's funny because I was about to raise my hand and stand up for Atlanta.
Are you?
Because you know what? I'm so glad I've had to go see my family in Tampa recently because every time I go down there, I get so astronomically grateful for the men in Atlanta that it reminds me that dating is just hard. Like, every city for dating is hard because finding the love of your life is hard. It's not supposed to be easy. Mm-hmm. But I do think Atlanta, like, I'm going to stand up for the people here. I feel like there really is a good crop of people here. It is just hard to find them because the men are not approaching us. We've got to say, hey, on Hinge until you find someone that you don't hate.
Okay, so what city then? Because that could put Atlanta into the negative category, that there are plenty of dudes, they're just not coming up to you, making Atlanta a very hard city to date in.
But that's everywhere. Like that.
That's what I'm asking. Is there a city where that doesn't happen, where the men are politely aggressive and they are in abundance? And you left that city and you're like, what an amazing city to live in because the men here, the dating scene is great. Never heard it.
I think Greta Gerwig wrote it up and it was Barbie Land. I think it's a fictional land where the men are actually great.
Raina says we are complicating this. Hey, Raina.
Hey, oh my goodness. This is the perfect topic for me. I have dated in so many cities. LA, Atlanta, DC. I've gone up to New York. It's how you're dating. It's not who you're dating. It's you having to know the know-how of what do you want? What are you expecting? What is your goal? Like, that is the problem, is people are wanting to automatically go into a situation and be like, this is my soulmate, and that's not the case. Sometimes you just gotta date around, and you gotta date differently. You gotta go out. You gotta get on dating apps. I all know. We all know. Dating apps are the crux of our disposition. But you have to date. You have to go out and want to date. And sometimes you might spend a little bit of your money because you have to get dressed and get pretty and look cute and do this and do that. But you have to date. And everywhere I go, I get dates. So when people tell me, oh, Atlanta is a horrible city, well, I've lived here most of my life. I've lived in LA half of my life as well. But in both places, I've always dated and dated well. And I've dated really nice men. Unfortunately going through a divorce, but it's
you're about to find out if it's a good city or not.
So Bert, you asked, like, is this a legitimate survey, right?
Yeah.
And it is. Like, I'm reading this from the New York Times.
Okay.
All right. And Atlanta scored big in fun and recreation thanks to its abundance of nightlife activities, shopping centers, social clubs. Even better, over 69% of the city's population identifies as single.
Is that right?
Yeah, they actually said identify. Even people in relationships are identifying as single.
Hey, Raina, I'm not exactly sure why I'm putting you on hold, but I feel like you've got a story and some guidance to tell. We just don't have to do it here at the time to do it here. So let me put you on hold and circle back to you maybe tomorrow, okay?
Please. I have many, many a story to tell.
I feel like it's oozing out of you, story. All right, hold on one sec.
All right, so, and this all came from Wallet Hub. They were the ones who conducted the survey. Who do you think is the second city best for singles, best for dating?
Nashville.
No. No.
It's definitely not Nashville.
Dallas?
No.
You said New York?
I did.
Las Vegas. You're kidding.
Vegas.
Next
Vegas.
Came Las Vegas.
If you're dating for the night.
It was found also to be less expensive than in most other cities on the list. Coming in third, think Northeast.
Boston?
Northwest. Super Northwest.
Seattle.
Sorry. Yes.
Seattle.
Okay. I forgot what side of the country I was on.
It depends. It depends how you're looking at the map. Is the map upside down?
Atlanta, Las Vegas, and Seattle apparently are the best cities when it comes to dating.
All right.
Interesting.
Ladies, here is Vanessa to tell you exactly where you should be flocking to because the dating is great in what city, Vanessa?
Back in the day, Huntington Beach, California.
Cali,
I could not go out without getting hit on, getting phone numbers. I mean, I sometimes had multiple dates in the night.
Wow.
And how long ago was this?
Well, I mean, I'll age myself a little bit, but probably 15 to 20 years ago.
Okay. So we've got two women on the phone that say the dating is great 15 years ago in Huntington Beach, and also that the dating is great in Atlanta, but she's in the middle of a divorce.
So I need a time machine and an airplane.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Brooke Show's entertainment bus.
Sad.
I don't want to do this anymore. I'm exhausted.
Just laugh to hold back the tears.
I think we should fly her to Huntington Beach one weekend and just see what happens.
I have
seen her out in the wild. She's great.
I know. Mm-hmm.
It's definitely the dudes because Abby ain't scared.
Thank you. I'm glad that you've seen me in the wild and you know how I'm like, this is proof because I've approached so many men, especially out in San Diego. I was like, oh my God, you got one of those like Top Gun mustaches. I'm out there. I'm outcha. All right. Are you obligated to employ your family if you are a multimillionaire? This is a question that people were asking themselves on a clip that was posted to the Shade Room's Instagram. Mo was nice enough to send this to me. And it was a conversation with Tyler Perry where he admitted that he actually fired one of his family members.
How do I have to let some go? It's like biology and family. How do y'all struggle with that tension?
I fired my aunt.
I feel her.
I fired my aunt. She said she wanted a job. She would always call asking for money, I'm like, okay, I was sending the money. I was like, listen, I want to help you. I don't want to help you build this thing, not be welfare to you. So let me give you a job. She wasn't coming in, calling in all the time. I was like, okay, well, you got to go because you want me to hand you the money, but you don't want to work for it. See, that doesn't work for me. And it's the same way with my son. Like, he's 10 years old. Like, there's certain things that he wants. He has to do chores and work for it. I don't believe in giving us things that are just going to handicap us. That is the worst thing you can do. And I've had family members that I've done that to because my mother has asked me to. And when she passed away in 2009, I sent all of them letters saying, listen, you got 60 days to become gainfully employed because I'm not going to keep supporting you like
this. Are you serious?
100%. They all got jobs. And it wasn't even jobs where they're making a lot of money, but it was a job. It was something else for them to do to feel some pride in.
Right.
That's the same thing I would want somebody to do for me.
But do you still?
So he basically said that he was even asked by his family members for $1 million. He's like, I'm not going to do that. Like, I think at one point Tyler Perry was like sleeping in his car. So it's like, at what point, like, where were your family members during that? Like, if anybody had stepped up for me during that, like, I'll give you $1 million all day long. But if I worked for what I had and you just expect me to, like, I don't know, wire you a check, that's crazy.
I completely agree with this message. I see nothing wrong with it. I can imagine being a billionaire and then you have family who are struggling to pay their rent that they feel entitled, that because we're family, you should help me. And when they say no, you kind of start to see the truth and how they really feel about you. And no, I believe when he says you enable people by just giving them money, but he was trying to put them in a position to actually have a job to make money, and they didn't want to do that. And because of that, I can understand how a person in his position would feel like, hey, even if you family, I got to give you the hacks.
Yeah, I feel like this is a case-by-case basis, because I'm not going to lie. I'm going to look at you sideways. If you're a billionaire and you have, like, family members that are living in poverty that you can help out. Now, if they aren't trying to make anything of themselves, and, you know, if they're trying to take advantage of the situation, that's one thing entirely. But if you are a billionaire and you have family members who are struggling to make ends meet, and they've been there for you, like, emotionally, mentally, whatever, like, they haven't taken you for granted, they haven't done any of that, right? They're just family members down on their luck. I think you should help them out.
Since I'm the only billionaire in the studio, I can comment on this.
What you got, Bezos?
Here is what I would think the problem with that is. I think once you give a handout, it just doesn't stop. Like, I agree with you. I would give the initial handout.
Yeah.
But I think you would have to make it known, like, this is a one offer right here, because it's never going to stop.
You're a billionaire, though. You have the money. You literally could fund everyone's life and still be a billionaire.
It all depends on the relationship. I don't think you're entitled to that.
That's what I was going to say, because you got to look at, like, the MC Hammers of the world, the Allen Iversons of the world, who they all had a ton of money and they chose to help out a lot of people. At one point, MC Hammer had 20 family members living in his home, and then he ended up broke. Like, one person is asking, it's 20 people asking, it's 30 people asking, and if you don't draw the line, who's going to help you when you need it?
I agree with drawing the line, but again, MC Hammer wasn't a billionaire.
Like, he had enough.
He
should have been good for the rest of his life.
He definitely should have. Do I think he got taken advantage? Absolutely. Would I have looked at him sideways for not helping everybody out? Absolutely not. I feel like he 1,000% got taken advantage of. But if we're talking about just like some one-offs here, this is going to be such a random reference. Does anybody know about Grey Gardens?
No.
Okay, so Grey Gardens was a real documentary, and then they also turned it into a TV series. Jessica Lange starred in it, and Drew Barrymore did. They did a fantastic job, right? And it's these two recluses in the Hamptons, but they have relations with the Kennedys, or not with the Kennedys, but with Jackie Onassis. Okay, they were related to her. They
they were dealing with some mental health stuff. They were in this dilapidated home. They had done things to put them in financial ruin, but they were living in absolute squalor, which makes no sense because it's the Hamptons, but this place was busted. And it wasn't until it came public that they were getting evicted from the city or whatever that Jackie Onassis came in and she fixed up the house, cleaned and like helped them and got them back on their feet or whatever. I feel like in instances like that, if you have the money, you should help. Why would you not?
Yeah, I think we got to go circumstance by circumstance here, but I understand, understand what Tyler was saying in that. Yeah, I could give you the money and I can get you on your feet for sure. But if I make you actually work for it yourself, that is sustainable because I can't be here forever.
Mm. Exactly. Because most of the time, if you help somebody and you don't make them work for the money, I think people have learned that they're always going to keep coming back and it's going to be a revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what a privilege, too, to just get like a job that most people would die for, like to get to work for Tyler Perry. Like so many people in the film industry would love to work for him, but you get to jump through that door because you're his family member.
And that will officially be the last time I side with a billionaire on this.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
He or she did you so wrong. You are consumed by revenge right now, which is not healthy. No, it's not. But we're going to help you. We're bringing a lawyer on next week that is going to tell you ways to get revenge. This is once every day next week. How to get revenge without getting arrested.
And she's a funny lawyer.
And she's very, very funny. All right, we'll do that next week.
They exist.
They do. All right, so today is follow-up Thursday. You guys usually hit us up and you're like, yo, Burt Show, whatever happened to blank? And we cover those on Thursday.
So this was back in May, and Leah was looking to rekindle things with her high school sweetheart, Lincoln. The two parted ways before he moved across country for college. But before leaving, he gave her a sealed letter with instructions to read this when you're ready to move on. Leah forgot about the letter for years until she found it while going through some old stuff at home. After finally reading it, all those old feelings came flooding back. We helped her track down Lincoln and discovered was recently divorced and still thought about Leah fondly. The two reconnected after Leah reached out with a cute inside joke text. They ended up FaceTiming for 2 hours and the chemistry was instantly back. But there was one issue. Lincoln lived about 8 hours away. Last we heard, Lincoln was planning to make a trip to see Leah. What has happened since?
Here's the update. Hey, Burt Show. First off, my car and I are now very well acquainted with every rest stop between here and Lincoln's place. That Memorial Day weekend visit, let's just say it went really well, like we may have made it exclusive. We've been doing this whole long distance thing, and it's been amazing. I am actually sending this update from his couch because I may or may not have just accepted a job offer in his city. Dang. Sometimes the universe really does have a sense of humor about timing. Thanks for being the push I needed to reach out to him. Turns out sometimes the best things really are worth the wait. We'll keep you posted on the next chapter.
Aww, great. Leon Lincoln.
Good news.
Yeah.
Sitting in a tree.
I catch
you. Doing it.
So how'd you crush your son's feelings?
Oh my God, he's going to need therapy over this. And I thought I was being such a cool parent and bonding with him on his level. And I just made him burst into tears in public. So like moms of most kids, 5 and under, he's obsessed with saying poo-poo head and pee jokes and butt jokes. And it's so annoying. I'm like, there are so many other things to make fun of. Please stop screaming butt in the middle of a restaurant.
Right. It's incessant. Jimmy yelled D's nuts in the grocery store the other day. Swear to God. That's objectively hilarious. That's
yesterday, I was letting him push the cart and I go, what about these? And he's like, I don't like these. And I go, what about these? And he's like, D's nuts. And I'm like,
he used it right. That's impressive.
He did. But I don't know about little girls, but I know for little.
Oh no, Hazel's into it.
Obsessed. Poo-poo, pee-pee, weenie. Like it's.
Does that ever change?
Not far from what we
they're
do.
They're all funny, yeah.
At some point, you do stop screaming, poo-poo head, at your siblings in public. God. God, please let that day come soon. So we were driving across the country and we stopped in Memphis on our vacation. And I was excited because Memphis, obviously, like along with Kansas City, I'm not hating, but Memphis is a barbecue capital, right? Like real good barbecue.
We got people from Kansas City.
I know. That's why I gave Kansas City their love. Also amazing barbecue. And I know South Carolina's got some. I don't want y'all to feel like excluded, but this was Memphis barbecue. The kids haven't really had like proper barbecue. So we're like, yeah, let's find the best. We're there for like 18 hours just overnight. Let's find the best place in Memphis. And if you don't know, the best way to find out good restaurants for a city is to be like, best restaurants, Atlanta, Reddit. Because then you have actual people from the city recommending it. And this place, the barbecue shop, came up over and over again. And when I tell you, it was the best barbecue I have had in my entire life. Like, I will take a trip back to Memphis just to eat there again.
Really?
It was so good.
Tommy's going to be doing the show from Memphis tomorrow.
You should. It's, I mean, oh my God. That's not the point of the story. The point is, on the kids' menu, there, you know, they have kids' stuff, and there's something called the barbecue Boston butt shoulder sandwich. And I'm like, great, that's perfect. Is that or chicken tendies? So I'm going to get him that. And so we're like, he's making butt jokes. And then I'm like, hey, Max, guess what? He's like, what? I go, you're getting a butt sandwich. And he burst into tears and was like, I don't want a butt sandwich. I want barbecue, mama. Like, top of his voice screaming, I don't want a butt sandwich. And I'm like, dude, I'm trying to be on your level. So then we had to like teach him about, you know, Boston barbecue butt. But that was my trying to be cool with Gen Alpha, and I failed. So yeah, I'm just going to be over here being old.
Don't even try it, all right?
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Well, the story starts off with a big old win. Winning at a charity auction with a unique experience, but it doesn't end so great.
It doesn't. I'm going to do this one like a 2000s movie. I was on the back of a golf cart. As it rolls to a stop, I have about 15 chairs in my hands. I take a step off. The golf cart has not reached a stop. I step directly onto my ankle, and I start going down. Freeze frame. Wait, what did they say?
Cut.
You might be wondering how I got here. There we go.
Reference scratch.
That was a close one. Almost forgot it.
Now I see where you're going with this. Okay.
All right. So a couple months ago, my mom and like three of her best friends were at this concert charity auction thing. And there's this guy named Jason Eady. And have you guys ever been to Eddie's Attic in Decatur?
Uh-huh.
Great place. It's called a listening room. They have this big sign in there that says, like, no talking in here. If you want to get rowdy, go out to the patio. This room is just for listening. So we've seen him there, I mean, at least a dozen times. Like, we love this guy. He's a great singer-songwriter. On the auction thing, it was a chance to have a private show from him. They bid, and they won.
Right.
And so they set the date. Okay. It was to be in Arkansas on the White River. And this was like 2 weeks ago. And so we all go, my mom's whole side of the family is from Arkansas, and they all live on this river. There's like an airplane strip in the back. It's an incredible place. It's somewhere that I think everybody has to experience at least once. So we get over there, time for the concert, day of. We have about like nine of these John boats, which is just like a little river boat. And so you drive them up to this dam and you float down all day. So this is day of the concert. We're floating down, casual drinking. You know how it goes.
Nothing, what is casual drinking for you, Mikey?
Just drink Miller Lights until they're empty.
a lot of them?
I mean, as many as your body
wants.
As
many are there.
And no, I'm trying to take it easy because I know we got this big concert tonight.
What is taking it easy for you, Mikey?
Just try not to drink the beer so fast.
How many beers did you have floating down the river?
Well, there's no counting. Counting ruins the fun.
Yeah. It's just a number.
Just drink, feel all right, eat a ham sandwich, and you're good.
It's like age. It's just a number.
It's okay.
Yeah, man.
So the concert is drawing closer. And so, I don't know, with my family, it's maybe like 16 people, but then everyone invited friends. So ended up being about 40 people out here, just a bunch of lawn chairs stacked up. And you ever get that thing whenever you're trying to casual drink, but something so fun is about to happen that your body just wants, like, it just wants to, let's go.
It's
let's
a gravitational pull.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you're not even doing anything.
And it's not, It's not. What was that? And it's
not, I think you might have just had a stroke. Back.
That was me thinking about it. And it's not just me. It's everybody. You feel this feeling among the crowd that's like, let's party. We're having fun. Yeah.
You're matching energy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we, the younger people of the family congregate in the kitchen. No words are spoken, but someone whips out the fireball.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
And
oh,
no. It okay. just tastes so good.
It does not.
It's a wonderful beverage.
And it makes you feel naughty, and it begets another one.
Makes you feel naughty?
Yes, it makes me feel naughty. Any shot makes me feel naughty.
Right. It's good stuff.
To never, ever, ever take a shot with you again.
See, everybody hates this stuff. It's good stuff. I love it. It really is.
I'll pour it on pancakes.
Until you get too far gone, and that's mm-hmm. whenever trouble erupts. Yeah. So we get halfway through the show. Word on the street. I learned this the next day. They say I dozed off last song of the first set. I'm not sure if I believe it, but apparently it happened. My girlfriend wants to go home. She's done for. Too much fireball. So I walk her home, and I think like a sigh of relief fell over the crowd, and everyone was like, all right, he's gone. It's okay.
You were that guy.
Yeah. Next set's about to start up, and here I come stumbling on back down the road. And yeah, I don't think anyone was too excited to see me. But I behaved myself, just sit there. Music was incredible. He's so great. He's an amazing artist. And so it's a special thing. You get to sit there. At the end, he started taking requests. I yelled out, Towns Van Zandt. I was in heaven.
So you pass out, wake up, walk your girl home, and then walk back for the second set.
That's correct.
That's very chivalrous.
Wow.
Yeah. And
your stamina is impressive.
He's young. He took a nap.
He's young.
10 seconds.
All right, but you're rallying, man.
I mean, I can't miss this. This is what it's all been leading up to. And, finally, the show ends, and we're packing up. You also get the thing where you've drank too much, but you still want to be helpful. So I jump on the back of my uncle's golf cart with like 15 chairs in my hand. He drives me home. He knows what kind of condition I'm in, and I do too. Everybody knows. And so I try to get off of this golf cart. I step directly onto my ankle, you know, where it's like just folded.
Oh, no.
So all the weight of my body goes onto my ankle. I fall face all the way to the floor, and my uncle says, you all right? Yeah, I'm good. It's all good. And I'd wobble back inside, woke up the next morning. It's hard to tell if the shame or the ankle hurt more. They both were just killing me. It was probably the shame.
Did you break it?
I had no idea. I've never broken my ankle. So that was 3 weeks ago at this point, still swollen, and I can't turn it.
Yeah.
Mikey broke, Mikey.
Yeah, I'd say you broke
it. You think? I can put weight on it now.
Yeah, I'd say you broke it. It's not what you could do anyway.
What do I do?
Nothing.
Yeah. Walk it off.
Go see a doctor.
They're going to put you in an air cast. You don't got time for all that.
Just take a shot of fireball, everything. Yeah.
Good call.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show. Moro Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.